morning, everyone, and welcome. On behalf of Cammie and the rest of the family, I'd like to thank you for being here, and also to announce that immediately after church, lunch will be served over in Fellowship Hall, and the family will exit first, and then everyone else can fall in after that, and then after the luncheon, we'll travel out to the cemetery in South Wayne for the burial. And also, in a few minutes, you will have the opportunity to share a memory that you may have of Dwayne, if you care to stand up, and I'm going to ask that you come up and speak into the microphone, because we are recording the service, and if you don't speak into the mic, it'll just be a dead spot in the recording. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we ask that not only your presence be felt here in this room, but that your presence be known in our hearts. I pray, Lord, for comfort for the family, especially for Cammie. Lord, today we come with mixed feelings. We are sad because Dwayne has departed this life and gone on to eternity, but we're full of joy knowing that he is in your presence even as we speak. Father, I pray today that as we remember Dwayne, that your name be lifted up and that you be held to the highest esteem. And I pray that as we honor Dwayne, that you will be honored as well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from the Psalms, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, in all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, he who forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. And praise the Lord, O my soul. Reading from God's word. I'll ask you to take the hymnal from the pew, the rack in front of you, and open it to page 541, and we will sing together in the garden. And let's all please stand if you're able.
I come to chooses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of war. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you. Please be seated. I would also like to say that today's service will be uploaded onto our website by this afternoon, martintowncommunitychurch.org, if you want to go on there to hear it, can do that as well. This time I'd like to introduce Christy Comprude to come. She's going to share a poem and a scripture in memory of Dwayne, and that would be, Christy would be Dwayne's sister, also known as Glenda to all non-family members.
Shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now I have a little saying that I would like to read. It's titled, To Those I Love. When I am gone, just release me, let me go, so I can move into my afterglow. You mustn't tie me down with your tears. Let's be happy that we had so many years. I gave you my love. You can only guess how much you gave me in happiness. I thank you for the love you each have shown, but now it's time I traveled on alone. So grieve for me a while, if grieve you must. Then let your grief be comforted with trust. It's only for a while that we must part. So bless the memories within your heart. And then, when you must come this way alone, I'll greet you with a smile and a welcome home.
Thank you. And now if you'd take your hymnals once again and open to 319, we'll sing Blessed Assurance, and this time you can stay in your seats. Blessed Assurance.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This time I'd like to read Duane's obituary. Duane L. Meyer, age 68, of South Wayne, passed away Saturday, April 13, 2019, at his home. He was born on July 24, 1950, in Monroe, the son of Glenn and Eva Hale Meyer. He graduated from Black Hawk High School in 1968. Duane married Cammy on October 21st, 1989, in South Wayne. He was employed as a slitter operator at Moore Business Forms, now R.R. Donnelly, for over 40 years, retiring in 2011. He was a member of Martintown Community Church. He enjoyed hunting, fishing, camping, playing cards, reading, horses, and Alice Chalmers tractors. Duane liked to spend time with family. He especially enjoyed family gatherings. He is survived by his wife, Cammy of South Wayne, siblings, Donald and Linda Van Stone Meyer of Rockton, Illinois, Glenda and Jean Comprude of Gratiot, and Ginger and Ed Hagen of South Wayne. His father and mother-in-law, Delano and Joanne Marty of South Wayne, brothers and sisters-in-law, Carrie and Laura France Marty of South Wayne, Lonnie Marty of South Wayne, Delana and Chad Romanesco of Wrightstown, Wisconsin, Jimmy and Joni Marty of South Wayne, and Jackie and Dan Haldeman of South Wayne. Also survived by many nieces, nephews, other relatives, and friends. He was preceded in death by his parents, nephew Scott Dodge, four sisters-in-law, Tamara Marty, Dawn Marty, Candy Stoffiker, and Robin Marty. Burial will be in Union Cemetery in South Wayne. At this time in our service, we'll have a time of sharing, and I think Delana has prepared, there you are, some words.
this is a letter that Cam wrote to Duane. She had a hard time writing it because how do you sum up 45 years together in just 40 pages? No, just kidding. It's four. So I'll do my best to get through it here. I'm just going to take a breath for a second. My dear husband, Duane, where do I begin? We spent more time together in our lifetimes than apart. We met when I was only 15 years old, and it must have been love at first sight, because I sure don't remember taking it slow or easing into our relationship. Or maybe it's because my parents didn't approve of me dating you. You always said I'm a bullhead. And so maybe that's why I was attracted to you from the start. It sure didn't take long for you to win my parents over with your charm. After turning age 16 and getting my license, I remember how you would let me drive your car to chauffeur my friends around. And then just a couple years later, we decided to take the leap and move in together. We lived in four different places before we settled into our final home. We had so many wonderful memories traveling over the years. Our best times were spent traveling. We got to see the country from Vegas, Colorado, and Wyoming to Niagara Falls, Washington, D.C., and Florida, and everything in between. One of the things I adored about you was your sense of humor. You were so witty and quick with a joke or a comeback. Sometimes you would make me laugh so hard I would cry. And even though it's been a long time since I've seen that side of you, Duane, these are the memories that will live on in my heart. One of the things we had to learn to compromise on over the years was arrival times at events. I would tend to walk out the door 10 minutes after we were supposed to be somewhere, and you'd be standing there waiting for me for at least 20 minutes ahead of schedule. After all this time, I'm still working to get on board with your philosophy that it's better to be 10 minutes early than 1 minute late. But maybe someday. Hopping on our red gold wing every weekend was always so much fun. And even if it was pouring down rain, you still found a way to brighten my day. Your love for the outdoors seemed to rub off on me over the years. So after we put our motorcycle to rest, we moved on to our adventures of camping. We progressed from sleeping in a tent to a brand new Coachman camper. I am so grateful for all those years we got to spend together with family, cooking, eating, relaxing, laughing, and best of all, sitting by the campfire. And as your health declined, and so did our camping trips too. We never got blessed with our own children, and even though it had been our hope, we never felt cheated or unfulfilled. I especially admired how much enjoyment and pride you got out of being a godfather and uncle. All of the children in our lives made you and me feel whole, and I hope they all realize just how much they meant to you. As I sit here now, reflecting back on our lives together, I am reminded of how much you loved me. Your big heart cared deeper for me than anyone I will ever know. While the last 10 years have been challenging due to your health issues, I will hold on to and cherish all of the good times we shared over our 45 years together. I am grateful that I was with you when you took your last breath. It's hard to imagine my life without you, but I have peace in knowing you are in a better place. I will continue on this journey of life without you physically here, but you will always be held close in my heart. I love you, Duane, and I will miss you until we meet again.
Someone else want to share? And if anyone else wants to, you can just come up here and stand on the side while the next person is talking.
Tammy asked me to Wayne is my older brother by 2 years, so we played together a lot as kids. I was a tomboy, so we were always out playing in the dirt, playing farm, or playing cowboys and Indians. Dwayne said he didn't like playing cowboys and Indians with me because I never wanted to be a cowboy or an Indian. I always wanted to be a horse. So I'd pretend to be a horse, I'd jump over the fence, and then Dwayne was supposed to come and chase me and catch me. One of the times that Dwayne decided he was gonna be the horse, and I was riding on his back. He decided he was gonna be a bunkin' bronco, and I fell off and broke my arm, and that was the last time we played that game. Dwayne loved to tease me. When I was little, he told me I wasn't really his sister. His mom and dad found me in the cornfield, felt sorry for me, and let me stay. Another time, he told me I was really older than him, that I had smoked too much and stunted my growth, and mom and dad had to hold me back in school, and that's why he was ahead of me in school and everybody thought he was older. And he even tried to tease me as an adult. But I would give him that look and shake my head, and he'd always say, "You know I was just kidding." Another prank he did to me and to Ginger was that he'd be in the living room watching TV, and we'd be in the kitchen or the dining room, and he'd holler at one of us to come on out to the living room. He had something he had to tell us. So once we got out in the living room, he said, "Oh, while you're here, change the channel." So I guess we were his remote control. Dwayne liked horses. He won a lot of trophies and ribbons with our white horse lady. He also liked to dress up for Halloween. Sometimes when trick-or-treaters would come to the house, they would see him standing there and they were too scared to come on the porch to get any candy. He even rode his motorcycle down Highway 11 with his Halloween costume on. He was quite the sight. Dwayne always had nice cars. I remember his 64 Chevy Impala SS 409. I liked it because it was an automatic and he let me drive it a couple of times. He also had a 66 Chevy Malibu SS 4-speed. He wanted me to drive it once. It was the first time I had ever driven a 4-speed. It was a very jerky, very short ride, and he never asked me to drive his car again. Another thing about Dwayne, he was probably the biggest hellraiser in South Wayne as a kid. One night, he got a lot of guys together and wanted to play follow the leader, but playing follow the leader in cars. And naturally, Dwayne was the leader. So they went up and down the streets, around the parking lot, and they even went up the sidewalk right in front of the high school. Well, we didn't live too far away from South Wayne, and my dad could hear all that noise that was going on downtown, and he knew Dwayne was involved somehow. So he came down to South Wayne, stopped Dwayne's car, went over to the passenger side and told the guy that was sitting there to get out and told Dwayne to get home. Well, that guy sitting in the passenger seat was Gene. Who would have ever guessed that a year later we'd get together? You'd have thought he'd have been scared of my family and would never come back. There's another story that I remember about Dwayne. And this was a story Mom told. And she said, one night she had to go and wake up. She had to call Mike Meithaler and wake him up and ask him to come down to the bank. And we asked, what was that for? She said, well, Dwayne got in some trouble. He was in jail, and I had to get Mike to open the bank so I could get some money out so I could go bail him out. We think after that, Mom always kept some money in the safe, so she'd never have to wake up Mike again. Dwayne liked to fish, hunt, and go camping. He told me not too long ago that he hoped he'd be able to go hunting again when his health got better. Dwayne loved his family. He thought the world of his nieces and nephews and his godchildren. But most of all, he loved Cammie. He said that she was the best thing that ever happened to him. And we all agree.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mitchell. Cammie is my godmother, and Dwayne was my uncle. So I thought I'd try to tell a few stories that might lighten the air a little bit here. And you know, I wasn't only Dwayne's nephew. I later came to find that I was also the lead of the Southwind branch of Computer Heroes. So. I mean, that's what he would say anyways. So he was always hesitant to trust my brother Mike and I when we were growing up, and rightfully so. I don't know if it was our innocent inclinations to break everything around us or the banter and physical abuse Mike and I encourage with our less than stellar behavior. But, you know, Captain Dew, he would always be there responding. He had this famous quote, and it was, "You know, me and my brother, we never fought." I still never did find out if that was actually true or not, but I assumed with a track record like that that it probably was. So, when I was in middle school, the family, we'd like to take camping trips, and Dwayne was the first one to really latch on and enjoy those times. I remember that. And on one of our first trips, Dwayne was sitting down with a stick, and my brother found great interest in this. After begging for 3 days and promising not to cut ourselves, he sat us down and passed the knife and taught us how to whittle. I still don't know if he really thought Mike and I would stab each other or not, but he must have trusted us at least, you know, at this point, not enough to kill each other. So, you know, I also specifically remember trying to sleep one night in the tent, and this terrible smell like would come into the tent every now and then, and I had a hard time sleeping. And it wasn't until the last day of the trip that I walked around the back of Cam and Dwayne's tent, and I stumbled upon a bucket full of liquid that was of the most golden amber hue. You'd not even believe it. So when I asked Dwayne about it, he replied, "Oh, that's my bathroom bucket," and I'm saying that lightly. I used it to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and then I just, you know, he sure was a man of fortitude and invention. So, so every now and then he would roll up in his black Chevy by my dad's house, and I'd be standing outside, and I'd see him coming along, and the window would roll down, and a cloud of Dutch Master cigar smoke would creep out, and then all of a sudden I'd hear, "Mitchell, how the heck are ya?" And that would ignite a 3-hour conversation where we would talk about everything from politics to aliens, computers, girls, food, family, faith, and even demons. One time Dwayne even asked me if I was a devil worshiper, which I quickly denied, of course. That was around the time of his stroke, and that's when things started to change for my Aunt Cam and my old friend. The last 10 years were full of pain and anger, but that will not mask the many laughs that will be remembered. You know, we love you, Dwayne, and we'll remember the good times and the bad. Many lessons were learned along the way, and I think most importantly, we should remember that, you know, even in some of Dwayne's darkest days, he always kept a strong faith and belief in a fair and just God. So, I'm sorry, buddy, we didn't get to as many buffets as you wanted. But I hear the feasts in heaven are much more bountiful than that of the old country buffet. So rest in peace, insane Dwayne from South Wayne.
cousin. I'm glad that Christy used the word hellraiser, so I don't have to be afraid to say it. He was a hellraiser. When I grew up, my cousins across the road, they were a little older than I was, and I didn't spend a lot of time with Donnie and Dwayne and Christy and Ginger, but they were in our hearts and our thoughts all the time because my dad was so close to them. My dad loved Donnie, he loved Dwayne, and but he was a hellraiser. He didn't have a lot of time for a twerpy little kid like me, you know, the little cousin that's, get away from me, get away from me. But Dwayne had a good time, and every so often we'd go down the road. They lived across the road from us, and we'd go down the road, and there'd be a lot of black marks at the bottom of the ravine down there going south on our road. And Glenn and my dad, they'd say, where did those, and Dwayne would be around, where did those black marks come from, those tires? How did they get there? And Dwayne would say, well, I think Dean did that. Well, I didn't have my driver's license yet, so it could have been me. So we didn't spend a lot of time together. The first time that I really confided in Dwayne was when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and it was Good Friday, just like tomorrow's gonna be. And it was kind of gloomy at our house, and Dad said, I don't wanna let people know about it yet. I wanna tell my brothers, myself. So just, if you could just be quiet about it. Well, the next day I saw Dwayne pulled down to the farm with his El Camino. And I walked down there and I said, Dwayne, I have something I have to tell you. And I said, please don't say anything to your dad. I said, my dad wants to tell him himself. And I told him that he had cancer. And Dwayne said, I'm sure sorry to hear that. He said, I don't want you to be alone. He said, I want you to call me tonight. You know, you don't need somebody to talk to. I want you to call me. And he had my back. He said, call me tonight, call me tomorrow. That's the kind of person that Dwayne was. A couple months later, my dad loved horses. He liked to work with horses. He had harnesses and horse collars in the garage. There was pride and joy in the saddle. And he called Dwayne and he said, Dwayne, I need to see you. Can you come up here sometime? So he said, sure. So he pulled up and he had his El Camino, the brown El Camino that he had. And he said, my dad said, Dwayne, I want you to have my harnesses. You should have my harnesses. And the look on Dwayne's face, I still can picture it. He said, I can't take your harnesses. He knew what those meant to my dad. He said, I'll buy them, but I won't take them. So he said, I'll take $25. And Dwayne always had a wad of money in his pocket. Peeled off a 20, peeled off a 5, and gave it to him. Loaded up those harnesses, and I broke Dwayne's heart to take those harnesses because he knew what that meant to my dad. And my dad wanted no one else to have it but him because he loved his horses. And Dwayne was also so nice to my mom. The last time that we got together was when Dwayne and Glenn were at Pleasantview, and Mom and I went to see him. And we visited for quite some time, and then she came and caught us in this family get-together, you know, and what's going on here? And Dwayne said, you better get going. So he said goodbye to us and shook our hands and so on, and he said, he told my mom, he said, Dulcie, you're one of my favorite people. I sure enjoyed our visit, and he shook her hand. And he said, I love you. And she said, I love you too, Dwayne. And I don't know which one of them meant it more. They were so genuine. I remember Dwayne's kindness. He makes me laugh. He makes me smile. I told Tammy, you can't look at him and think about him and say his name without smiling. Because he had mischief all in his eyes. And something was going to happen. And I remember Dwayne being kind. And I guess what I'd like to say is, you know, we've gotten together a lot these last year and a half. We've had a lot of and everyone else has. And, you know, these anniversaries, birthdays, holidays, they're kind of tough, first ones especially. And, but we have good, over time you have good feelings in your heart, and the smiles come a little more than the tears. And years coming when I walk down to cemetery in South Wayne and I come up on Dwayne's headstone, I'm going to smile and I'm probably going to chuckle a little bit and say, you know, this was a good man. He made me laugh. And I think that's a pretty good honor. He loved you, Christy. He loved you, Donnie. He loved you, Ginger. He loved Candy more. I love you. I love you, Dwayne.
I'm Larry, Dwayne's cousin, and I guess it's quite a day here after his dad passing away last year, and Dwayne and I grew up, Donnie, we kind of grew up together, and we were all about the same age, and there's a lot of stuff, not only with the farming, and Dwayne and I run around a lot together as we were younger, and unfortunately, as when I moved away, we grew further apart. But it was always really good to get back to the family reunions each year, if nothing else, and get together with them and kind of renew old times. And a lot of things just said today, obviously. Yeah, Dwayne liked to have a good time, you know. and I think I missed a little bit of that when I moved away. Some of the maybe the little bit more exciting times, but again, you know, I just know that he was he enjoyed life, and obviously he loved Cammie and family, and it's a big loss to all of us.
On behalf of Dwayne's godchildren, I'll just be reading a poem. The day you left and gained your wings, my heart just broke in two. I wish you could have stayed with me, but heaven needed you. You left me with the memories, and I love you dearly still. No matter how much time goes by, you know I always will. You're a very special person with kindness in your heart, and the love we had together grows stronger now that we're apart. I know I cannot bring you back, although I wish it every day, but a piece of me went with you the day you went away.
So I was also asked to say a little something about Dwayne. Yesterday, as I was driving down from Appleton, I asked the kids to just share a few memories and thoughts with me about Dwayne, and I'd like to share these with you. They remember Dwayne to be nice, kind, and a very good-hearted man. While these last few years have been tough on him, they will always remember the Dwayne from camping, campfires, and hunting. They all said how we love the outdoors. They recalled when Reed passed his hunter safety course, and how Dwayne was so excited to hear that he had an interest in hunting. Dwayne called me up after he heard this and asked if it would be okay if he were to hand down an old 22 to him. The next time that we were in town, we drove out to his land, and Dwayne asked Reed to recite the four key rules of firearm safety. Once he recited them back, he passed on the 22 and we shot targets for the next couple of hours. They also recalled how excited Dwayne was any time they harvested something from their hunt. We always had to print off an extra picture when Reed and Ella and the rest of the kids got a deer, turkey, or fish. Another memory that was brought up by my daughter Bryn, with some laughs, was one night when we were at Red's house. Dylan was standing right behind Dwayne when he decided to let one rip, which they recalled shook the entire house. They remember Dylan's eyes opening wide and sprinting for his life to get out of the way of the bomb that was just dropped. They thought the whole house would collapse. While these few memories are personal to us, I can say with absolute certainty that he was very much proud to be an uncle and a godfather to each and every niece and nephew. Dwayne was also a very caring husband deep down in his heart. This became obvious to me when visiting him a couple years back at the hospital in Monroe when he wasn't doing well. Cam walked out of the hospital room, and it was just the two of us, and he reiterated to me how much he loved and appreciated Cam. And he asked that if anything ever happened to him, to please help along with the rest of the family to give care and support to his wife. My final memory of Dwayne was how much he truly enjoyed the simple things in life, like a sunset, a good campfire, a good steak, a cold beer, and of course, driving around in his pickup with a cigar. I brought down a few cigars with me yesterday, and I plan to light one up tonight in his memory. Dwayne, rest in peace, my friend, and we hope to catch you again on the other side in heaven.
We can add much more to all of those stories. But I have a little thing here that Charlie Erickson wrote up and asked me to read. Unfortunately, Charlie couldn't be here because his uncle passed away the same day Dwayne did, and the funeral's today, and he's a pallbearer. So I told him to come here first and go there, but he said they're the exact same time, and he didn't think he could get down to Lena quick enough. So this is what Charlie said. The year was 1967, over 50 years ago, when Dwayne and I became friends, or as we referred to each other, buddy. In high school, we met, had some classes together, and I guess goofed around during noon. Weekends is when we really spent time together, driving into Monroe or over to Hicks's Corner by Darlington, always in his sweet Chevys, the 64 Impala SS 409, or his Chevelle. Speaking of his fast cars, when in Select Hospital, he told me how the tread on the tires of one of his cars happened to disappear one night. And he said explaining that to Glenn, his dad, didn't go over well since they were just new tires a couple of weeks before. Fast forward to the 70s, and I got married, and Cammie and Dwayne got together, and we had, Dwayne had his long job of many years at more business forms. Charlie started farming, and we didn't see each other until late in the 90s. We both started coming here to Martintown Community Church, and the common bond we both have was the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, our Savior, touching our lives. I became a member here with my wife Marcia in 1982 and Dwayne and Cammie in 1999. And through the years, we had good fellowship here in church as buddies. For several years, we started the CAM committee, which stands for Clergy Appreciation Month. And Dwayne and Cammie and Marcia and Mary McGinnis and Patty Eels and myself got together once a month and made plans for the year and talked, and of course always had good food or supper here at the church. And the group here at church working is still referred to as the CAM committee. Fast forward to the last 2 years, Dwayne has been in and out of the hospital and nursing homes, and he's had some good days, but more bad than good, he'd tell me when Marcia and I saw him. We enjoyed seeing him at our visits, and when leaving, we'd pray together for the blessings we have and for the love of the Lord who loved us first. This past Christmas, Marcia and I went as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus to see Dwayne up at Middleton, and when they entered his room, I was ringing my bell, and Marcia said, "Merry Christmas," and Dwayne said, "Hi, Charlie and Marcia Erickson," and we said, "Can't you play along a little with Santa and Mrs. Claus?" And we all laughed. Forward to this past Friday, I called Dwayne at about noon. I asked how he was and if he wanted some company. He said not today, he wasn't breathing well. So we talked for about 5 minutes, and he said, "I'll see you, buddy." And I said the same. And one day we'll see each other again with no pain in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. So I've had the privilege of knowing Dwayne for about 24 years. I would say he and Cammy started coming here in 1995, and I remember that Cammy was the first one to come here. She came with her Aunt Mary, and she found out that we were doing a study on Wednesday nights in the book of Revelation, and she went home and told Dwayne, and Dwayne wasn't much for religion or faith or anything up until that point, but he was very curious about Revelation, so he started coming on Wednesday night, and he sat back there on that side, and he never looked back. He started coming on Sundays, and it wasn't long until he became our head usher, and they've both been mainstays ever since. But I feel like I'm at a bit of a disadvantage here this morning because I don't have any stories about Dwayne from his rowdy years like you all do. I mostly saw him when he was on his best behavior here at church. But he did tell me some of the stories from his past and even some of the things that he wasn't very proud of. But like everyone has said so far, he has an undying love for his wife, Cammy, and he wasn't afraid to tell people that. And everyone knew how much he loved her. What I saw from Dwayne in our years of friendship was a man with a big heart. And he loved to have fun, and he liked to read, and he always had a story about him and Cammy's adventures on their Goldwing motorcycle. And like everyone has said, he loves the outdoors. One thing I'll always remember Dwayne for was how much he liked good food. He always wanted a potluck. He wanted to go out to eat. He wanted somewhere. And Dwayne's the one who introduced Cindy and I, my wife, to the Hideaway Acres over by Benton. He was telling us about this great place, and so we went over there, and it was just like Dwayne said it was. As you know, Dwayne could be very intense at times. No one ever wondered where he stood politically, and no one ever wondered where he stood with his faith. And I have to say to Mitchell, you weren't the only one he asked if you worshiped the devil. That was something he asked people all the time, especially when he got sick and he was in the hospital and in the nursing homes so much. And I remember one time, and I shared this with the family, I think it's okay to share, but I went up to the Select Hospital to see him, and you never knew what Dwayne's mood was going to be, because it was just so intense, you know, the medication and however he was feeling, it changed from day to day. And I got to the door, and before I went in, I could hear him in there talking to someone, only it was more of an elevated yelling at the nurse or the assistant, whatever it was, and Dwayne was just very, very put out because his breakfast biscuit had been burned, and he wanted it the way he wanted it. And I went in there then, and he said, "Kevin," he said, "I'm so sorry you had to hear that." He goes, "I am just so sorry," he said, "but you would think they'd hire people in the kitchen that know how to make toast," he'd say. And that was Dwayne. There was another time when he invited me to an event, and when I got there, he met me outside. He saw me pull up, and he calls me aside, and he says, "Kevin," he goes, "when you go in there," he said, "I want you to get everyone in that room saved." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, get them saved. Tell them about Jesus and what they got to do." And I was like, "Wow." So I went in the room, and I looked around, and I counted. There were 17 people in there. And I thought, boy, Dwayne has a pretty high opinion of me. But I told him later, I'm not the one who saves people. I just tell them how to get saved. And then the rest is up to the Lord. When I met with, actually, I stopped and visited Dwayne last Saturday morning. Cammie had told me he's in the hospital and he was now home, and I sent her a text and asked if I could stop by, and she said, "Yeah," so I went, and we talked, and Dwayne had the CPAP on because he was having so much trouble breathing, but he could talk over that, and we talked about things. Dwayne told me that he said he wanted to walk in the door of church. When he could walk and get to church, he was going to walk in that front door. And he said, "But I don't know how much time I have, if I'll make it that long." And I said, "Well, set a goal. By the first day of summer, you're going to walk in the door." Well, that night, Danny Haldeman called me, and him and Jack were out at the house, and said that Dwayne had passed away. He said that Dwayne was ready for bed, and so he asked Cammie to go in ahead and get everything prepared, get the CPAP machine going, and everything. And he walked down the hall with his walker, and as he sat on the edge of the bed, and as Cammie was helping him get in, she saw in his eyes that something wasn't right, and she said, "Are you going to pass out on me?" And Dwayne said, "Yes," and then that was his last breath. Just like that, he was gone. And he went up into eternity. There's not a single person here today, though, who didn't know where Dwayne stood in his faith. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to laugh." And God gave Dwayne just 68 years on this earth. But Dwayne loved the Lord, and he loved his family, and he's going to be missed by everyone who knew him. But before us here today, we have Dwayne's empty body, because his soul has gone on to eternity. And so the question that begs for an answer is, what comes next? What about life after death? Because here we sit today, and our hearts are full of grief and full of sadness. But one day, the scriptures say, we will be just as Dwayne was. Our soul will have gone on to eternity, and our bodies will be left here on earth. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto man to die once, and after this comes the judgment, that each one of us will stand before God to give an account for our life. And it's interesting what the Bible says. Tells us about death and life after death. Jesus tells a story in the 16th chapter of Luke about two men who died, and he says there that one of them went to hell where he was in torment, and he was begging for a drop of water to be placed on the tip of his tongue because he was in such agony. And we get from that a number of things, but one of the main things is that hell is not a happy place. And we shouldn't take it lightly. Jesus goes on, and he says, the other man died, and the angels came and carried him to paradise. God's word says that he will never leave nor forsake a child of his own. And that promise holds true in life as well as it does in death. We're never alone. Dwayne was never alone. And Cammie said that last Saturday night, she said as she was sharing that she was with Dwayne when he breathed his last breath, and then a lot of the family came over, and it wasn't a very pleasant time, to say the least. But one thing that I've noted with my experience with Cammie and Dwayne in the past is that family is always there all the time. Every situation, family shows up and offers the support and the love and the strength that each one needs to get through that time. So the family was there, and there was crying, and there was some of us were a bit uncomfortable at the time. But I couldn't help but imagine, as I was standing there, what was taking place in heaven at that exact moment, because we weren't expecting it. Jackie was out there. She talked to Dwayne on Saturday. No one was expecting it. I mean, we all know it's coming eventually, but no one expected it at that moment. But I began to think of these things, how the Bible says that God sends his angels to come and escort us into heaven, and how there's great rejoicing in heaven when one of his own comes to be with him. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And so at that moment when Dwayne breathed his last breath, you can imagine that suddenly as his soul escaped from his body, and actually he has escaped from this prison of decay and turmoil and all these things, and God has escorted him right into heaven itself. And by the way, I know that the last few years, Dwayne had his stroke in October of 2009, and everything changed at that moment in his life and in Cammie's life. Nothing was ever the same, and as hard as Dwayne tried to maintain that, he physically was unable to do that. And some days he was angry, and some days he was completely out of sorts. But in a way, I don't blame him, because we all know what it's like to be sick, and we all know how overwhelming that can be. But I imagine for Dwayne being sick and not ever really seeing that he was going to get better down the road, it seemed like every time he started getting better, something else would happen. And he would, you know, Dwayne spent time in Pleasant View, at New Glarus, at Select Hospital in Madison. He was he would get home, and within a few days, something would come up, and he'd be back in the hospital again. The last 2 years, he spent a majority of that time, save 3 or 4 months, in different hospitals and nursing homes. And so when Dwayne, when his soul went into eternity, when he went to be with the Lord, he suddenly went from being perishable to imperishable. He went from being broken and injured and hurt to being perfect. Once again, in Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, when they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. So imagine if God sent his angels to escort Dwayne up into heaven, and on the way there, they get to the, on this side of eternity, still on this side before they cross over, there's God waiting with open arms to welcome those who love him, which would be Dwayne Meyer, into eternity with him. Jesus says in John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And so every day people want to know, how do we get that eternal life? Well, it tells us in the book of Ephesians that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it's our hearts, it's your heart that God is looking at. And one is saved by faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that is Dwayne Meyer. And so the question then today is, what about you? What's your standing with God? If you were to die today, do you know for certain, without a doubt, that you'd go to heaven? And you can say, well, nobody can answer that because nobody knows for sure. But the Bible says we can know for sure. The Apostle John, the disciple of Christ, in 1 John 5:13 says that I write these things to you so that you will know that you have eternal life. And so we can know. And I know that Dwayne knew as well. And I have a story in one time, Dwayne, when he was in one of the hospitals, I can't remember which one, but I went to see him, and he told me, he said, I got in a fight with the nurses last night. I said, well, what was the fight about? And Dwayne said, well, he said, I asked them if they were serving the Lord or if they were serving the devil. And I was like, wow. And he said, I told them, you're not tricking me. He goes, I know you're working for the devil, and you come to get me to take me to hell. And he said, but I want to tell you, that's not going to happen. He goes, because I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as he's telling me this, I'm wondering if he actually convinced anybody to take on his faith, or if people were thinking, what a crazy guy in that room. But he couldn't keep it in. And it was either, you were either with God or you were against him. And he wanted everyone to know. The Bible tells us that we can know God. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. When you seek me, God says, not you will find me, but I will find you. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for those who fear him. So he can bless us and bless you, and you can find God today. When you get home, you can take your Bible and you can ask God to show himself to you as you read, and then begin reading in the book of John, is where I suggest, in the New Testament. And you'll read about the life of Christ and the miracles and his discipleship with Jesus, and then you'll read about Jesus' death and his resurrection and what he has in store for all who love and know him. And I have to say that Dwayne was such a blessing in my life and in Cindy's life as well, Dwayne and Cammie. And, you know, a lot of times I wonder, Cammie and I were in the same class in high school, and I wonder what some of my high school classmates think when I'm up here preaching all this stuff, because they remember what it was like back then. But you know something? God changes people's lives, and God changes people's hearts. And we saw that in Dwayne, and Dwayne never looked back. And one of his favorite verses was in Romans 8:39, where it says, what can separate us from the love of God? Then it goes on and it lists all these possibilities, and in the end it says nothing, Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for Dwayne's life. I thank you for every testimony we heard today, and how an underlying each one was Dwayne's love for his family, his love for you, his steadfastness in his faith. And Father, even as Dwayne has lived and died, I pray that his death will not be in vain, but that those that hear the message of his life and the message of your love and your forgiveness might receive you and have what Dwayne had. Father, I thank you that Dwayne is now free from the limits of this earth and his body here, and the sickness and the health and the diabetes and the amputation and all those things. And now he's singing and dancing in the streets of heaven. We thank you and we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. We have one more hymn to sing. It's number 238. It's Because He Lives. And I know you've been sitting for a long time, so I'll ask you to stand and we'll sing Because He Lives, and then we'll have the benediction.
God sent his son.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. I thank you, Lord, for all the memories that have been shared here today. Thank you, Father, that underlying all of them is Dwayne's love for you, his love for his family, love for his wife. Father, I thank you for the change, the difference that he made in people's lives. I thank you for the joy that he took in being the godfather to his nieces, and what a privilege he felt and how honored he felt because of that. So now, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless us the rest of this day. I pray that you'll bless the food that we're about to partake and the fellowship, and give us safety. I pray that as we move into this weekend, that your name be lifted up. And Father, I pray that each one of us here today will praise you and give thanks to you for the joy that you've put in their hearts. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I'll ask you to be seated again, and then the directors will help you find your place.